Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Sunday, April 7th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. Yes, I have been gone, and I missed two episodes. So let me explain. First of all, the one 2 weeks ago, I was traveling and could not podcast. However, I was back for last week's podcast, and the reason I didn't podcast is because I value your time, and I didn't think I had anything of importance to say. And as much as I know that if you're a podcaster, you should regularly show up at the time that your podcast is scheduled to go on, I weigh that all the time with how valuable your time is, how much you have on your plate, how much stress you're under, and whether or not you need to take 20 minutes out of your day to listen to me and walk away and think, well, you know, why did I bother to do that? So that was last week. This is a whole other week, and I have something critically important to share with you. What prompted it is a book that I'm reading. The book is called The Indoctrinated Brain: How to Successfully Fend Off the Global Attack on Your Mental Freedom. Now, the title alone is clearly on point, because who doesn't feel like there is a global attack on your mental freedom? It's probably the thing most of us complain about most of the time. So the author, Michael Niels, is a German physician. He's a doctor of medicine in Germany, an author, and he studied medicine at the universities of Freiburg and Heidelberg, and he got his postdoctoral lecture qualification in molecular genetics. Smart, and his field of, let's say, focus is molecular genetics. And by the way, he's had over 50 scientific publications, two of which were published with the Nobel Prize winners Paul Greengard and Martin Evans. So Michael Niels is an expert. And now let me tell you what the book is about to the best of my ability. And I say to the best of my ability because being a molecular biologist, as Niels is, and I'm not, the book is at times quite detailed and deep about the functioning of the human brain. But I think I can put it into layman's language and make it particularly meaningful for you, as it has become meaningful for me. The key here is the hippocampus. If you don't know what the hippocampus is, it's very important in the organization and storage of new memories in our brains. Especially, I would say, those memories or those experiences that get stored as memories that are declarative memories. What does that mean? That means those are memories related to facts and events. Secondarily to that is that the hippocampus, there's actually two of them in your brain, but I'm going to refer to them singularly as the hippocampus. That area is also responsible for making memories stronger by connecting them to sensations and emotions tied to those memories, okay? You're having an experience, it's factually relevant, it's factually discernible to you, you're in the middle of an event, whichever, but there's also an emotion or a sensation tied to that. The hippocampus takes all that in, and the hippocampus, by the way, is linked to the amygdala, which is another structure in your brain associated with memories, especially, wait for it, fear. Especially fear. Now, let me tell you why this is important. It is critically important because when we have these factual encounters or experiences of events that are tied to an emotion, we take them in through the hippocampus. But the hippocampus is your short-term memory initial contact with your brain. It goes into the hippocampus, but it can't stay there for very long. So what happens is it leaves the hippocampus and it gets stored because the hippocampus only has so much, let's call it space, like your hard drive, or let's call it more like your flash drive. It gets stored in another part of your brain where long-term memory exists. Now, the key here is that over time as we live, the hippocampus shrinks. So the amount of information that it can store becomes less and less over time. The shrinkage in the modern world, what we call normal shrinkage, it's normal because it's happening across the board to everyone, so it's got the word normal attached to it. But actually, the rate of shrinkage of your hippocampus is not natural, because when we go back in history and we look at through science and through DNA testing and other testing that's done, I'm not even sure what those categories are, it's possible to determine that the rate of shrinkage should be significantly less than it is in the modern world. And that's for a variety of reasons, but let's just focus on this. As it shrinks, it's able to hold less and less initial contact information. So what happens if it's kind of overloaded? Well, it goes into the other part of the brain, the long-term memory storage part of the brain, and it pulls up or brings up into the hippocampus some neurons from the other part of the brain that have stored long-term memories that now you want to hold on to. However, when it pulls them up, it also wipes them clean. So when the hippocampus needs to pull up neurons from the long-term memory portion of your brain, it basically wipes them clean like your computer when you reboot. Okay? You've then lost that long-term memory. So here's the key. If you can keep the hippocampus both shrinking and overloaded, you will cause the brain to continuously be pulling up long-term memory neurons and destroying them, or better yet, wiping them clean and using them for the hippocampus. What does that do? Well, it erases your history. In your brain, it erases your history. So now, can you hear Michelle Obama saying in 2008, I believe it was on the campaign trail, 7-8, Barack knows we're going to have to change our history. We're going to have a new story. All the things she was saying about us needing to change our past wasn't hyperbole, and it wasn't exaggeration, and it wasn't poetic, and it wasn't symbolic. She meant it literally. Because that's what's being done to you, and that's what's being done to me. It's being done through perpetual anxiety and fear. Now, you can't necessarily keep people frightened at a high level of fear, the fight or flight syndrome, endlessly, right? Because you can't just get them to believe that every single moment of their life is a threat. But you can keep them anxious. And if you keep them anxious enough and consistently enough, you do damage to the hippocampus and you cause it to need to go back and pull up those historical, I will call them neurons, and wipe them clean. And the more it happens, the less you have a point of reference for what your history was. And guess what can happen then? If someone feeds your hippocampus new information, anxiety, based information on a regular basis about the war in Ukraine, the war on coronavirus, the war on the Middle East, the war on poverty, the war on, you name it, the war on the open border, the financial crisis. If you can do that, if you can keep us in a state of anxiety and thereby flood, in essence, the hippocampus to the point of it can no longer function as it was intended, but instead is sort of in crisis mode all the time and pulling out your memories from your long-term portion of your brain, then what you've been exposed to is PTSD, but it's not what you think. When I said PTSD, your brain said post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, guess what? It's pre-traumatic stress disorder, Same initials. The only difference is one happens after the fact as the result of a traumatic injury or exposure, and the other one happens up front in anticipation of a terrible event or something fearful. And I didn't make this up. This is the result of a study by two hippocampus specialists, Dorothy Bernstein and David Rubin, from the Danish University in, Aarhus in Denmark, who explained in their first scientific publication on this matter, quote, listen to this, post-traumatic stress disorder is a diagnosis related to the past. Pre-traumatic stress disorder, as measured by intrusive, involuntary images of possible future stressful events and their associated avoidance and increased arousal, have been overlooked in the PTSD literature. Now think about COVID. Think about COVID. Think about the fear that was used, the constant state of anxiety that was used in order to, I would argue, overload your brain and cause you to be more malleable, submissive, cooperative, with less individuality, and by the way, less ability to think, because there's two stages of processing information. I'm going to call them S1 and S2. In S1, you're being pretty reactive. You're responding to the moment. It is, in fact, the fight or flight syndrome. But in S2, it's more contemplative. It's more objective thinking. It's more critical thinking. It's taking a moment or two or however long you need to evaluate the actual threat of something that may be coming your way. Well, if you keep people long enough and thoroughly enough in this fight or flight S1 mode, you have less and less energy. In fact, you're exhausted and don't have what it takes to critically think or evaluate whether or not what you're being told is actually a threat to your very existence. So that pre-traumatic stress can take over your life if you're experiencing worry about what could happen in an uncertain time. Well, guess what? A less obvious consequence of that is that it shrinks the hippocampus. You're constantly being stoked by fear and anxiety for a reason. And that is to, in essence, let's call it wipe the hard drive clean of your long-term memory. You know, let's get rid of the statues. Let's get rid of the Constitution. Let's get rid of our history as we know it. Let's create a new story. Let's reimagine our history. All of that garbage, all of that language, all of that nonsense is part of what I'm talking to you about. The anxiety stoking that took place in the general population over COVID was not accidental. I would argue, and so does the book, that it was deliberate. Think about the things that you are inundated with every day. The climate crisis, terror attacks, states collapsing, food crisis, failures of urban planning, infectious diseases, fiscal crises, national governance failures, extreme weather, water crises, involuntary migration, chronic diseases and health conditions, use of weapons of mass destruction, interstate conflicts, cyber attacks, weapons of mass destruction. Did I say that already? Critical infrastructure failure. Did I say that? Adverse technology advances, asset bubbles, unemployment, natural resource crises. It goes on and on and on. And they hit us with it every minute of every day. And if it isn't one of those topics, it's another one of those topics. So why in the world did I just take 15 minutes to talk to you about your hippocampus and how your brain processes information? Well, it's because I think I finally understand, and I hope you do, what's happening. It's not accidental, it's deliberate. It's not the first time that people with the lust for power have tried to figure out how to control the masses. Only we live in a time when the technology and the knowledge and the understanding of how biology works and how the brain works, all of that comes together to make the perfect storm, to actually make it possible. Because you can enslave someone by not enslaving their body, but by enslaving their mind or indoctrinating it, as the book title so aptly refers to it. And I think that is what has happened. The strongest and best response to that and way to transcend that is to understand that it's happening and to understand how to stop it. Now, I'll tell you, I am only about a third of the way through the book, so I have no idea what he proposes as to how to deal with it. But I'm going to tell you how my instinct tells me to deal with it. And I haven't drank the Kool-Aid thus far, and I am pretty independent of thought. I mean, it's why I do the podcast, right? And call it Think for Yourself. But you can't think for yourself if you don't understand what's being done to your brain and what's being done to your actual thought process. So the key is to back away from the fear. The key is not to buy into these stories. The key is to stay off of the bad news, meaning stay off of your devices as much as you can. And to realize and look back and know that most of the things that were thrown at you to cause you to be frightened haven't happened. Haven't happened. And most of what they had you terrified by pre-COVID was all misinformation. The masks didn't work. The vaccine didn't prevent transmission. In fact, it harmed people and will continue to do so. And by the way, the book goes into detail on just why that is so, on the danger of the mRNA vaccine and its delivery system, the lipid nanoparticle encasing that actually delivered the mRNA into your cells, crossing the blood-brain barrier, allowing it to go into your brain, which prior vaccines did not, and which prior coronaviruses did not. I digress, right? I don't want to overload you with a whole other topic that has the kind of detail that I just tried to communicate to you about your brain. It is your brain. You were given free will at birth. I had a long conversation this week with a friend of mine about free will. I think we don't understand it. We don't respect it. We don't teach it to the extent that we should. It is power. We are the only species that has it. But if you relinquish it, if you allow someone to rewrite your history, to come up with new customs, to make you forget the things that you always thought were valuable, and to instead become part of a mass psychosis that reacts instead of proacts, that reacts instead of being contemplative and thoughtful, then you've relinquished the greatest gift you've been given. Because truly, the greatest gift we are given as humans is free will, is the ability and the right to choose whether to believe, to choose whether to follow, to choose whether to be sheep, to choose whether to buy the narrative with unquestioningly. It's your gift and it's your right. Do not look that gift horse in the mouth. It will be your downfall. It is, in the converse, your key to freedom. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'm not going to say I'll be back here next Sunday because maybe I will and maybe I won't. I will promise you that I'll be back here when giving me 20 minutes of your time is something worthwhile. Until then, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.